Philly J. Lay, and I'm the host of The Wellness Way with Philly J. Lay podcast, which is a fantastic podcast, I'm going to say that, because I have fantastic guests like yourself. We've got our episode coming out shortly, Dr. Bruce Lipton. And for me, the most exciting, sorry, Clive, but the most exciting is Barbara O'Neill. So I have two podcasts out with Barbara, and I'm bringing her to London in June to do my first live event, The Wellness Way Presents Barbara O'Neill. So that's, I think, as high as it gets in the wellness game for me.
Yeah, for me too. She's absolutely wonderful. Everybody has to come and see Barbara. Incredible.
They should. She's a phenomenal woman. Absolutely phenomenal.
And you can tell she's good because she's now banned from Australia. Your entire continent doesn't want her anymore because she's, healing people. I mean, God forbid.
It's even worse than that. I did a podcast interview with her and her husband, Michael, who wrote the book, The Assassination of Barbara O'Neill. And they didn't only stop her from working in Australia, you know, running her health retreat, but they actually knocked at her door when she was on a Zoom to, I think it was India, and said, no, you can't talk to anybody about health, even on a Zoom, or it's 3 years in prison.
That's crazy. That's insane. I wonder how many people in Australia know that. Presumably it's not in the press anywhere. Most people wouldn't know.
I doubt if you know, but she has a massive following. I mean, she's got over 1 billion hashtags on TikTok and more fake accounts than you can shake a stick at. But her real account is Real Barbara O'Neill.
Right. There are so many people impersonating people. People are impersonating me all the time and asking for money and all that stupid stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mainly on Telegram. People somehow crack into the individual's personal addresses and write as if they're me. Really annoying. And of course, some people pay as well, which is even worse.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So Clive's never asked for money.
Nor have I.
I just ask you to support our work.
So, tell us more about your work.
Well, my book is based... So, the first book I wrote is The Natural Wellness Journal. And I wrote it in 2020 because I was extremely pissed off at what was happening in the world, to put it mildly. I couldn't believe what was happening. And it's based on my journey as a self-healer. So, you know, I'm an author, I'm a podcast host, but most importantly, I'm a self-healer from a near-death medical procedure. And 10 years ago, I had a spinal fusion and they missed my spine with the anesthetic and I nearly died. I spent 2 years of my life in bed, addicted to opioids, alcohol, just so much going on, you know, autoimmune diseases, which we'll talk about later, but autoimmune diseases popping up, terrible brain fog, chronic fatigue, frozen shoulder, you name it, I had it. And then one day I looked in the mirror and I had this large tumor in my throat. And I'd been in my bed for 2 years and I thought, oh shit, I better go and see a doctor. So I did. And I ended up seeing four consultants, 4 days running. And I kept saying, is it all connected? Everything that's going on in my body, is it, you know, how's it connected? And they don't know because they are not taught to connect the body. It's just insanity. So, you know, my surgeon said, well, I just do tumors and thyroids. So I'm, you know, going to cut your tumor out and we might lose your thyroid. And the other surgeon said, I'm going to operate on your shoulder. And then they wanted to wire me up to all these electric things about my brain fog. And I went, you know what, guys, let's call this a day. I have the tumor out, which I deeply regret because I didn't know any better. And then I gave up Western medicine and I went on a journey to heal myself naturally. And I just thought, I can do this. And I'd been going through an awful lot of grief at that moment in time. My sister died just before my spinal fusion, which makes sense. You know, I'm trained in metaconsciousness and every ailment in the body is connected to emotion. And when Trish died, I felt unsupported, and it was the last disc on my back. It was my root chakra. And so I felt very, very unsupported. And Trish was also, I shared a bedroom with her. I grew up with her. She was my best friend, which she hated. So she told me her best friend's mum was a witch. So I stopped following her there. I just spent my whole life with Trish. And when she died, it was incredibly painful. And then my mum died and my two best friends. So I had this unimaginable grief going on. I didn't stop crying for 2 years, and I was, really very big because I didn't walk. And, my baby girl, my youngest daughter, who was very young at the time, would just try and feed me and bring me food. And it was all crap. It was really sweet of her, but it was crap. And I just thought, okay, I have got to change my life. And so I started with diet and nutrition because that's what I knew most about. I trained as a classical dancer. So, I had a good understanding of diet and nutrition. And my dad started Pick Your Own Strawberries in the UK. He came back from World War II and he had just enough money to buy a piece of land, very, very small holding. And he planted up strawberries and he didn't have the money to harvest. He was a very sick man. He had Parkinson's disease when he came back from the war, which they put down to his aeroplane shaking. And a lot of pilots came back with Parkinson's, and they were all told it was the shaking of the aeroplane. But many years later, after my mum had died, I found a Dear John letter, actually, from him to my mum, written on my daughter's birthday, obviously not her birthday, but the day she was born, the 22nd of April, telling my mother how much he absolutely loved her. And for that reason, he had to leave her because he hadn't stopped shaking and having migraines since he had had that blessed, these are his words, since I have had that blessed plague injection. So my father was jab damaged. And they never gave him a pension, a military pension. He was stripped of all his officer's stripes, and I never knew why. And then it made sense. My dad stood up and went, no, I'm sorry, it's not the aeroplane. It's that, he called it not an injection, an inoculation was what he wrote in his letter. And so, he was quite an angry man. Not angry with us, but he couldn't talk about the war and everything. And he, worked the land, and I worked the land, all his children, all six of us worked the land alongside him. I knew about the corruption of Big Agra. There had been a disease called Red Core that was very prevalent in the UK with strawberries. And my dad worked out what the minerals were missing in the soil. And he worked out what to do about it. He went to ICI and he said, I've got a solution to Red Core. Absolutely brilliant. And they go, oh, that's fantastic, Mr. Lay. And he signed an agreement with them for a pittance. I think it was something like a fiver, but he was on a really high royalty. So he came back really excited that he was going to make, money just to get the land up and running, maybe expand and buy more land. And basically they buried my father's research, and it never came to market. And he got a fiver for the 3 years worth of crops that he was working on. And it was a natural solution, but there's no money in healthy people. There's no money in healthy crops. There's no money in healthy anything. And that's why we're all sick.
Well, as they say, the health industry, the medical profession has been so successful, and now almost everybody's ill.
Absolutely. So that's how I started my journey with diet and nutrition. But then I went on, that was hard for everybody around me. I'm not going to say I was an easy person to live with, because I wasn't. I was permanently detoxing. And, my ex-husband would come home and go, that's not a meal, that's a side dish, and kind of jump back in the car and go and buy some crappy old steak from Tesco's or somewhere. I couldn't live within the I just felt suppressed. And that's why I had the tumour in my throat, because nobody could hear me. Nobody could hear what I had to say. And I needed to heal. And so when my marriage ended, I was contacted by a woman I hadn't seen for 22 years. And she messaged me actually on Facebook and said, I'm doing a course next month and I think it would be really good for you. Will you come along? Can I have your email? So I gave her my email and she sent me a course on something called EFT. So emotional freedom technique, otherwise known as tapping. It looks as mad as shit and it works on absolutely everything. It is extraordinary. But I didn't know that at the time. And I looked at the price and I thought, oh God, do I want to do that? So I was just writing to her to say I was going to give it a miss. And she messaged me again and said, oh, by the way, it's a gift. And when the universe gives you a gift, you take it. So I thought, well, that's really, really kind of her. So I go along. So I went along and I sat in this room and there are all these people tapping and I didn't know anything about it. And I'm just like, oh, I really don't want to be here. I want to go. And I kind of thought, well, it's rude to get up and go when somebody's gifted you something. So I'll just phone in sick tomorrow and I'll go. And then at 11 o'clock, I remember the time really well, 11 o'clock, this scream came out of my mouth and it was on a parallel to the scream that came out of me when they brought me round from the spinal fusion without any anaesthetic in the body, any painkiller in my spine. And I fell on the floor. I was in agony and I was screaming, you know, call me an ambulance. And my heart was fluttering and I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And I was screaming for an ambulance. And Penny just really calmed me, picked me up and sat me on a chair and started tapping on me. And everybody else is sitting around and they're tapping on themselves. And, you know, at first I'm just screaming and screaming, going, no, I need an ambulance. I need a fucking ambulance. And she's just going, just breathe. And she keeps tapping. And she's saying, where can you feel it in your body? And I was going, it's in my heart. It's in my... And I was in this terrible state. She's saying, give it a colour. Give it a form. What intensity is it? It's a 20 out of 10. And basically, she just tapped and kept moving this pain around my body. And 2 hours later, and I remember it very well because it was 1 o'clock and it was lunchtime, she hit the slide, the next slide, and said, that, ladies and gentlemen, is a perfect example of chasing the pain, which was going to be the next section of the course after lunch. But I popped up and I discovered energy work. And the only thing I could say for that whole course was, this is fucking extraordinary. This is just extraordinary. It's fucking extraordinary. I didn't know what to say. It was just like, what is this? And I discovered energy work. And the more I have discovered on my journey to heal myself, the more remarkable, you know, it has been. And I've discovered, I trained as a Soma breathwork coach, and I discovered, you know, all the benefits of breathwork and NO, nitric oxide. NO, I don't know if you know this type, but NO is one of the components of the drug Viagra, because it works for that part of the body too. It's such a powerful drug, and it's completely natural, and you get it through breathing in. Oh, look at that. Well, you don't need, I'm sorry, I'm not, I don't mean to put you out of business, but you can do that through your breath work, but just make sure you breathe in deep through your nose, into your belly, out through your mouth, you know. And then I discovered water, the works of Dr. Emoto, and I've got some of his pictures in my book. I've worked with his son, Hiri, and, you know, that was extraordinary. And I just kept learning more and more and more. So 2020 came and I just thought, right, I'm going to write a book. I've never written a book and I'm highly dyslexic and I'm ADHD. I can't use a computer. I'm getting better at tech, but I couldn't use anything then. So I didn't even know how to copy and paste. I was literally, if I wanted to move something down the book, I'd scroll back up 50 pages and then scroll back down and type and then scroll back up and then scroll back down and type and then delete one word at a time. But I wrote and published it in 2.5 months. And I worked around the clock because I just thought, if everybody knew what I knew, they wouldn't be living in fear. We have these extraordinary, extraordinary abilities to heal ourselves, the body, the mind. Everything is so powerful. And yet we're not told about it because there is no money in healthy people.
A patient cured is a customer lost. So that would be no good. Think of all those poor out-of-work doctors. it is, unfortunately, a criminal industry. I think there must be a few doctors who genuinely believe they're doing good. But, I've given courses over the last 20-odd years. I've had various medical doctors take part. And they've come to me because they're already questioning their own belief systems. And usually it comes down to money. I say, well, look, there is a market for ex-doctors. You know, you were a doctor, so you got all that knowledge, and now go natural. There is a big demand for it. But they almost always said, well, it's the money. You know, right now we're earning a decent salary, and I've got the wife and the kids and the mortgage to support. But slowly, I think medical doctors are giving up their huge salaries and coming over to the light side.
I think the thing that gives me hope is, I keep getting petitions through going, sign this petition because the NHS needs more money. And I'm like, the last thing the NHS needs is more money. And, you know, it's there. And I'm not saying that if you get run over by a car, if you're in an emergency and you get to A&E and they ask your date of birth and then give you your horoscope, you'd be a bit pissed about that. You know, if you're having a heart attack, you don't want to start. Well, actually, I would want to start doing breath work, but, you know, they wouldn't go, is your heart chakra open? Because you'd most probably punch their lights out. So there is a place for it. But as it's is breaking down this system, and it's not breaking down because the doctors want to do anything about it, it's breaking down because it doesn't have the money. And there will never be enough money to support an NHS system when all it does is prescribe drugs. And, you know, every drug has a side effect. So you need another drug and another drug and another drug. And, you know, with that being the case, it will bankrupt itself and it will have to go back, I believe, to some, you know, basics. And then that's when people can start being their own doctor again and looking after themselves and finding out all the amazing things that they can do for their health. And, you know, that's why I started the podcast, because I wanted to bring, you know, herbalists and Ayurvedic practitioners and breathwork coaches. And, you know, I wanted to bring all of this information because it's heavily, heavily shadow banned. I got deplatformed on TikTok at 44,000 followers on my first account for spreading the health benefits of things like radishes, stinging nettles, and breath work. I kid you not.
Criminal.
I got deplatformed for that.
Lucky you're not in prison.
I know. And, you know, I built up my TikTok account again, but, you know, we talked about the wonderful Barbara then. I've had most of my posts with Barbara taken down. And yesterday I had my post taken down for Alzheimer's Prevention Day. And I had the amazing Patrick Holford on the show talking about all the things that you can do. And there's so much that you can do for your own health to prevent Alzheimer's and dementia. And they took that down. You know, I mean, we are struggling to get this information out now. So I would say to any of you listening to this podcast, please find us, you know, subscribe, turn your notifications on, write a review, share it with your friends, because we're really struggling to get this information out now, aren't we, Clive?
It's disastrous. You know, back in 2014, when YouTube took me down, you know, one day I've got 250,000 views, the next day it's gone entirely. So, you know, you get to a certain level and then you won't have it anymore. However, I stay relentlessly positive generally because if I started actually thinking about the bad things that are going on, I might be depressed. And I don't want that. So I say relentlessly optimistic, everything's going to be great.
It is going to be great. And for that reason, I put on the back of my book, I don't know if you can see that, the Energy Vibrational Scale, which is from Dr. Hawkins' book, Power Versus Force. And every day in the book, I've got little heart signals, water signals and air tree, so you can gauge how your heart is feeling. And the heart, you know, again, when I discovered how powerful the heart was, I stumbled, you know, the 2 years I was in bed, and because everybody was dying around me, I wanted to try and find ways to help them, things I could tell them. And I couldn't read books because my eyes wouldn't stay open. So I started buying all these docuseries, you know, things like The Truth About Cancer, The Truth About Vaccines, The Truth About Detox, you know, and all of those. And I discovered the energy vibrational scale and, you know, fear, which they put us into in droves in 2020. Well, they're still doing it. I mean, God knows they're now talking about bird flu, and, you know, they put us in wars that we never asked to be in there, and they push the fear like nothing on earth. But it is the biggest suppressor of the immune system. And, you know, 1 minute's fear resonates in your body, stays in your body for 6 to 7 hours. And yet 1 minute's laughter actually builds your immune system for 24 hours. Isn't that remarkable? Isn't that, that is how clever the body is. It's cracking. I love it. So you can't be depressed. You've got to go out there. You've got to keep the energy high, because that's how we're going to overcome this.
Would you demonstrate the smiling technique?
Oh, yes. So I talk like this, this trick that I do. So every morning I wake up and the first thing I do is I'm grateful. And this is in the book. And again, on virtually every page, it says, what are you grateful for today? And it doesn't matter how tiny it is, whether it's, you know, a little bird at your window, whether it's a picture of somebody you love, whether you're lucky enough to have a pet, but just show that gratitude. And some days for a lot of people, that's really, really hard. And so put a fake smile on your face and go, okay, I'm happy. And it tricks the brain. And there are some days you can't even do that. And so a lovely little hack is you put a pen in. And there you go. And there's your body. Happy you're sorry. And that just tricks your brain into believing that you're happy. And from there, you can then look at the little birds. You can look out your window. You can, you know, do something to build on that happiness. It's so important to have gratitude. And gratitude, you know, having gratitude means that you're enjoying other people's pleasure. So they're passing it on. It's all part of the collective consciousness, the spirit. It's all out in the field.
So when I first learned about the smiling for 1 minute, I was also told that try doing it in the mirror and looking yourself deep in the eyes and telling yourself how much you love yourself.
That's a tough one. I had to start much simpler than that. I couldn't do that. So I start with the Marissa Pierce trick, I am enough, on the mirror.
Yeah.
But the first exercise in the book, because it's a journal, so each chapter will give you information on something that's skin deep, as nature intended, eating clean. You know, there's lots of them. Checking your vitamins, Clive. And, you know, forgiveness. And, well, we should talk about that. Gratitude, the heart. You know, so just getting used to that routine of you know, putting these things. But the first exercise I ask you to do is take a photograph of yourself, print it out, stick it in the book, or put it on your phone as a screensaver. And then I just ask a simple question, which is, if I asked you to tell me the 10 things you love most in the world, when would you mention yourself? And people don't. It took me a really, really long time to be able to say I love and accept myself. You know, I had to start with I'm enough. And it's interesting because in tapping, you actually start with the negative. And a lot of people say, why do you tap on the negative? Because it's, you know, even though I'm a fat old cow, I am, you know, enough. Even though, you know, and that's what I was tapping on at the time, because I was this large woman in bed, even though. And Louise Hay actually had a great explanation for that. And she said, you can't clean the house unless you can see the dirt. And you have to, all of that trauma that we've had all of our lives is just stored in the body. And there's that great book, The Body Holds the Score. It's all stored in the body. and you just need to let it all out. And so, you know, as much as the diet and nutrition was a great place to start, I had to get to the emotional traumas that had gone on, and I had to release those. I, you know, and things like, you know, my dad died really suddenly when I was 26 years old, even though he'd been ill all my life, and I didn't ever think he was going to live to be old. It was a shock to me that, you know, I'd seen him the day before, had Sunday lunch with him, gave him a kiss goodbye. The next day I was working in London, got a phone call that dad had had a massive heart attack, you know, drove like a mad woman back out to Oxfordshire, saw him in the hospital and he seemed fine. So I'm like, oh my God, dad, you gave me such a shock. And then the vicar came in and my dad said, if you come to pray, you can sod off. But if you want to drink, then you can have a whiskey. And the vicar said, oh, I'll have a whiskey, please, Philip. So we sat around the bed and we drank and we had a great old laugh. And I said to the doctors, can I go back to work? I'll drive back to London tonight. And they said, yeah, no, he's fine. I'm like, okay. And mum said, stay down, just stay down tonight, darling, come and see him in the morning. I went, okay, mum. And then at 6 o'clock in the morning, I got the phone call that he was dead and that he died in his sleep last night. And I was so shocked because he had been fine. He wasn't fine. He was on really good form. He was really funny and really happy. And it was a shock. And I stored that in my body for many, many years, but I didn't know it was stored in my body. It was only when I had, I went to the next level on diet and nutrition. I went on retreat and I was doing a lot of detox at the time and doing a lot of coffee enemas. So I'd gone and I'd had colonic irrigation with a coffee enema, and it lasts an hour and it's one big tank. And this lovely woman, Rose, who was doing it, said, I can feel that there's something really stuck in your body. Could you go to the max 3 hours, three tanks? I'm like, wow. Okay, let's do it. And she said, but we need to talk about something different. And I'd just been talking about Polly, who had just died, who was my best mate and soulmate. And I said, I can only talk about Polly. And she said, no, let's talk about something else. And she went, how's your marriage? And within seconds, the water had been clean for the last 40 minutes. And within seconds, it was black. And it was black for the whole two tanks for 2 hours. It was black. I finished the treatment at 6 o'clock in the evening. My children carried me to my room and I sat on the toilet with just this black pouring out of me until about 3 o'clock in the morning. I was able to get into bed. And Rose, bless her, came in the next day, which was her day off. And she said, we're just going to do some Reiki. And she said, I want you to know that that was not your marriage that came out of your body. That was so dark that that is something that happened 25, even 30 years ago. So something really shocking happened in your life then. And I said, yeah, my dad died. And she went, that was it. Your body had just stored it in your gut. And it just hides it away because you can't deal with it. And just goes, okay, we're just going to tuck that away. And this happens all over the body, everything that happens. In EFT, we talk about trauma, big T's and little T's. And we all have those big T's in our life. You know, we have death and we have, you know, kind of divorce and moving house and, you know, all those things that are hugely stressful and hugely traumatic. And then we have all the little T's, you know, kind of like getting a parking ticket, getting cut up by another driver, getting ghosted on Tinder. Oh, that's just me then. But all these things happen and they're traumas and your body collects them all together. And if you look at what disease is, it's actually dis-ease. That's what it is. And you have to clear all of that. And then you have to give your body the nutrients that it needs that we can't get from the soil anymore because our soil's stuffed, as we know, we've killed it. But, and that's where you come in. That's why I love your work.
Well, luckily, there are very simple solutions to malnutrition. And whether the person is underweight and malnourished or overweight and malnourished, it's still malnutrition. The malnutrition is starving to death people. But the bigger somebody is, the more chance they are actually starving to death because the food they've been putting in isn't what the body needs. It's highly processed food. And, you know, I'm thinking that people once they realize that if they go out to eat, they can say, look, I'm actually allergic to seed oils, with the exception of extra virgin olive oil. I'm allergic to gluten and wheat. I'm allergic to MSG. What have you got? A friend of mine, when we used to go out to dinner, she'd say to them, so what on the menu is organic? And it's, well, nothing. She, surely not. You must have something organic. Obviously you do. You must do. Surely you've got something natural. She'd really put them on the spot. It was great.
I love that. So a friend of mine, when he goes into restaurants, he always says he's diabetic. And he's not diabetic, but if you say that, they have to tell you what sugar is in the dish.
Yeah.
And his favorite restaurant, which is a chain, which he absolutely loved, and he used to love going in and having their noodles with all the, vegetables in them and the broths and everything. And he went in and said, I'm diabetic, what can I have? And there was nothing. So he's never been able to go back in there. And he's just like, oh, wow, there's sugar in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In America, when I go to America, it's really hard to eat there unless you go to the organic store and buy it yourself. But even then, trying to find a loaf of bread in America that's not sweetened with honey or sugar, really difficult. There are very few of them. It's crazy.
I remember my daughter when she was at school, she had a school trip to America. And I said to her, and they were on a ski trip. And she said, I said, just, don't eat all the junk when you're up the mountains. I said, do a packed lunch, take your own food up there. And she said, yeah, no, I've asked about that. There's a little shop at the bottom of the piece, and I'll buy it every day. And eat healthy, mum. And she texted me when she got on the plane to come home, going, I'm just getting on the plane, mum. How many vegetables have you got for my lunch? Everything was just shit. I need a veggie fest. And I texted back and went, don't worry, there's 30 vegetables going on your plate tonight, sweetheart, when you get home. And she was just like stuffing her face, going, I can't tell you how sick I feel. And it was a week. And the thing is that your body builds up this tolerance, like it does to alcohol or nicotine or, anything. Your body builds up this tolerance, but it doesn't mean it's doing your body good. And people don't realize how sick they're becoming because of the toxic food that we're eating.
Well, it's frightening. I mean, if I go out to eat and I've eaten some what might be toxic food, apart from the fact of using, if you like, my mental capacities to hopefully neutralize it on a mental level,
Yep.
I take some fulvic minerals. Fulvic minerals detoxify almost everything. So if I have eaten some glyphosate, fulvic minerals are probably the best thing for it.
Oh, and as you say that, I've got my fulvic minerals here. Cheers.
So some people really notice the effect of fulvic minerals. When you started them, did you notice anything?
It's hard for me to tell, I'm going to be honest, because I have been doing so much for so many years now in my healing journey that I started on your 30-day protocol. So I'm feeling great with it, but I don't know which is the one that's helping me. And also, I do my breath work. I've always do my grounding every day. I have my cold rainwater shower. So I sleep on a grounding mat. There's so much that I do that I don't really know what is helping, but I love them. And I think you're a genius at what you do. So I'm very grateful for them, and I'm taking them every day. But I'm taking so much other stuff that it's just like, okay. What's helping me? I don't know, but look at me. I mean, I've just turned 60 years old, and if somebody had said to me 10 years ago that I'd be doing what I'm doing now with my life, I would have said they were having a laugh. I was literally stuck in my bed, and I would just pray that I could die. I just, the only thing that kept me alive was the fact that I had two children, but even that I found really hard to live the life that I was living and the pain that I was feeling, not just from the surgery and all of that, but the pain of the people I'd lost. I mean, it was just pain. Everywhere was just pain. every part of me, including my heart, hurt. But now, you know, I know that everything happens, you know, for you. It doesn't happen to you. And, you know, it's made me the woman I am today. It's allowed me to, you know, write my first book and then start my podcast after I got taken down. And then I did a, I've just released another book this year, actually, which I think is a cracking idea. So everybody knows about ebooks, but I've done an interactive ebook. So I've basically covered a lot of the topics and some other ones that I have in this, with lots of beautiful colored pictures, lots of pictures of my childhood and, you know, the people that I lost and loved and my pet pig Snowy and, you know, kind of, you know, lots of lovely things. But as you read through the book, all the way through, I've got interactive links. So, for example, if I'm talking about DNA, there'll be a link to my interview with Dr. Bruce Lipton. So you can just click on that and listen to more about DNA. If I'm, you know, talking about vitamins and minerals, because I bought the book out before you came on my show, Clive, then, you know, I take you to Dr. Bradley Campbell. So all the way through, I'm just taking you to guests on the show. And then we, you know, when we talk about things that I didn't in this book, because it's a journal, you know, germ versus terrain theory, which, you know, is extraordinary. When I discovered that, I'm just like, oh my God, yeah. Yes. So I talk about that. I talk about the Flexner report, you know, which was the hijacking of medicine. And it's quite criminal that a report from one man who wasn't a doctor, he wasn't a scientist, he was just a man employed by the Carnegie Foundation to write a report. And he went around all the medical schools and basically came back with a report to say everything was quackery. There was no scientific evidence. And, you know, the really extraordinary thing is that when you look up Chinese medicine to do with, you know, energy and qi, if you look it up on Wikipedia, acupuncture is the one to look up, everybody. If you look up acupuncture, it says that it's a pseudoscience because there is no evidence that we have energy meridians in our body. Wow. What can you say?
Yes, don't bother with Wikipedia theory.
I mean, as I write in my book, though, I don't think 1 billion Chinese are wrong.
No, I don't think so either. And certainly not for the last 5,000 odd years.
Yeah.
So the other thing that Carnegie and Rockefeller did was straight bribery. They went to the bosses of the medical schools and said, stop teaching herbalism, electrotherapy, homeopathy, whatever it is. We'll endow your college with $10 million or however much it was if you just stick to the three subjects, you know, chemo, radiation, and surgery. And they all took the money.
They did. And if you think about one of the posts that I had taken down off TikTok with Barbara O'Neill, she was talking about cancer, you know, and there are certain C words that you can't mention on social media. You know, COVID was one, now it's cancer. When I was a child, it was the swear word that began with C, but now you can say that as much as you like, as I frequently do, but you don't get taken down for that one, but you do for cancer. And Barbara was talking about cancer and TikTok took that down. But you look at the Cancer Act of 1939, and if you look at what was happening in the world, the political climate of 1939, we were on the brink of a world war, and somebody paid for that war. Somebody paid for all those gas chambers. Somebody paid to poison people with toxic gases that were to go on to become chemotherapy. And so the British government apparently were virtually bankrupt in 1939 because they had invested a lot of money into chemotherapy, which hadn't been working. It was killing people. And so you have to ask yourself, why on earth was a war started? Who funded it? And when you go down that rabbit hole, it's blooming deep, isn't it, Clive?
Well, it's not just the profits that the medical industry makes. It is the profits that the insurance industry makes, because if they're dead in a war, they don't have to pay out, as far as I understand it. So the more people that just die from an act of God or whatever, the more the insurance companies keep the money in. That's it. So it yeah, it's always a massive con. Everything governments do is not for your good, clearly.
No, nothing is for your good.
So, however, that's all going to change very shortly.
It is. Yeah. It is.
So what else can you tell us? Because I know you're short on time today because you're an incredibly busy and in-demand person, which is fabulous.
I'm sorry about that. It's everything is just there. The workload at the moment is kind of 24/7. I wake up to kind of hundreds and hundreds of WhatsApps going, this is your list from me today. This is your list from me today. So it is, you know, it's a busy time for all of us. But I'd like to talk about the fact that 2020 happened. And I thought, everybody thought, not me, everybody thought I'd gone mad. And I'm going, no, there isn't a virus and you're not going to die from it. And you have these extraordinary things called immune systems. Let's talk about the immune system. And when, you know, 2020 happened, we didn't really have people to turn to en masse. You know, I lost most of my friends and family. And it was in June of 2020 that for the first time I saw there was a demonstration going on in London. And I thought, half of England are going to be there. And I turned up and there were a few hundred of us. And I kind of thought, where is everybody? You know, where is everybody? But as the time went on, by the time we got to a year later, June 2021, there were nearly a million of us on the streets of London. And so whatever our governments do to us now, and our governments do not rule us, they are just the puppets, as everybody knows that watches your show. But next time they throw something at us, and you know, they're talking about the bird flu and they're talking about climate change lockdowns and the blooming WHO in the pandemic treaty. And they're, you know, all these things because they're finding a way to control us. And what we have to remember is that they failed in 2020. And that might seem quite harsh to a lot of people because we spent 2 years of our life more or less on and off being locked down, you know, restricted. But they failed because their plan had been to inject every single person in this country, in the world. And, you know, there's about 25% of us apparently that haven't had that injection, and 25% of people that have placebo. There's about 25% of people that are damaged from that injection. The other 25 are dead, you know, not quite that, because you've got some people that don't think they're damaged, but they just don't know yet that they could be damaged. And so we got to detox people. You know, that to me is the key. But when they throw the next thing at us, we have found our tribe now. We're getting, you know, I'm working around the clock, as you know, Clive, trying to get as much information as I can out to people and for people to find their community and find their tribe and their local tribe. And, you know, if they do that, we've got an advantage this time. And I think even though a lot of people are still very much asleep, I think that's because this has been such a big lie that you can't admit a lie that big. How do you admit that everything you've ever been taught in your life was a lie? And it's not just a rabbit hole you go down. There's a whole blooming Warren down there. And it's just like, ah, you know, you are Alice in Wonderland. And, you know, there are people that if they try this again, will just go, actually, I've had enough. And that is the time that I don't like using the word revolution because it shows anger, but there will be an evolution. And that is the time that we will stand tall and we will stand together in unity and we will change this blooming world. And all I can say is bring it on, because, you know, because the doctor of your future is you. You know, we are our own doctors. We've got to learn to be our own supermarkets. We've got to learn to be our own dentists. We've got to learn all the skills that our grandparents and parents, you know, and I'm really lucky because I'm the last of six. And, you know, my mum would be nearly 100 if she was alive today. Even though, you know, I'm a lot younger than my elder sisters, I still was brought up in a house that was basically a wartime house. you know, where everything was still rationed when I was a child, you know, in the 60s. And that wasn't because there was rationing of food. It's because my parents didn't have any money. And so on, you know, Sunday, Mum would do a roast joint, and the eight of us and my granny would always come for Sunday lunch, and we'd sit round the table. So nine people with not a large joint, and Mum would cut, you know, if it was beef, she'd cut it so thin, and we'd have one slice each. And then we were briefed beforehand, and you know, she'd say, right, I'm going to ask granny I'm going to ask all of you if you'd like more. You say no. And any of you say yes, you don't have meat again this week. But she would ask all of us so that granny could go, oh, yes, I'll have another slice. And so we've got to learn to get back into that mentality of not having the greed that we have now. And we're greedy. We eat far more food than we actually need. You know, I remember taking my daughter to a restaurant for a Sunday roast, and she wanted roast chicken, and they bought out half a chicken. No one needs half a bloody chicken. No one. In one sitting of a meal, no one. And so we've just got to reprogram how we live. We've got to get back to nature. We've got to get back to this simpler way of life. We've got to find our tribe, and we've got to be ready for the next one. And that's what we're doing.
Well, very good. So how can people find your book and find the podcast?
Everything is on my webpage, which is phillyjlay.com. And so you just go to my webpage, and we've got all my socials are at Philly J Lay, apart from TikTok, Philly J Lay one. And that might have to go to Philly J Lay too soon. So, but everything's on my webpage, and I do a weekly newsletter so that we can always stay connected. So no matter what happens in this very strange world, you know, if I get taken down, then you can always find me on phillyjlay.com and my newsletter. Come and get tickets for Barbara O'Neill. We've almost sold out, and we're just working on at the moment, and we'll release it on my webpage as soon as we sort it out, whether we can do a live stream, but because the tickets have nearly gone. So, you know, we're getting information out all the time, but we'd love as many people as possible to join in that event with Barbara, which isn't just an event, it's a movement. You know, we're going to get the vibe high. We're going to get people happy. We're going to get people learning all the great things they can do. And that's what my work is about. So, you know, thank you so much for having me on the show today, Clive. It has been an absolute pleasure, my lovely.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, I enjoy your podcast because you've got a really good way with people, and, you know, you've got some great guests. So well done.
Yeah. And I look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you.